And I guess I verbally abused my rectangle. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're live at OmegaCon again. It's our annual board game roundup, and we talk about our favorites and the ones that were just okay.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Play more games.
And Nick Glover.
Drunkish.
You're drunkish. True. This is true. I am also drunkish because we are at a MegaCon.
Yay!
And that excited voice with the clapping you hear is returning guest, Brianne Bilyeu.
Hi.
Yes. Hi,
Brianne. Hi, Tim.
We just got done playing the game Redemption. I think that one goes up first, right? So you just heard us...
Horrible.
Yeah, so now we're back.
Best game of OmegaCon Fall 2017.
Yeah, yes, oh. Yes, no.
I really hope that's not true.
We're back to talk about all the other games we played. New, old, whatever expansions, we'll just chat it up. And what we liked and what we, probably won't play again. We'll just say that way. And so let's start it off. Tim. What's a new game can you list some of the new games you played this week?
I did not play very many new games.
That's all right.
Which is unfortunate. I don't remember the name of one of them. It was a game where you're trying to build a spaceship, and what you have to
Space Team?
Was it
cartoony?
No.
Okay.
But you've got like different tools in your hand, and you have to try and repair the problems of the spaceship, and you have 5 minutes to repair the spaceship before it blasts off, and if it blasts off, then you win. So I played that. That was new. I played Santorini, which is a sort of an abstract strategy game where you're trying to get your figure to climb to the top of towers that you're building before the other player can get to the top.
Interesting. I saw the box for that. It had a pretty cute graphic design.
Well, when we get to talking about our favorite and not favorite games, we'll talk about that.
Okay, all right.
And then I played a game called Number 9, NMBR 9.
That game's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I really like that game.
Yeah.
It's another abstract strategy game that I really liked. And that was all the new games I played. We had our friends Adam and Tears of Trees. Adam is a Patreon supporter, I believe.
Yeah.
If he's not, I hopefully have just guilted him into it. But he is a longtime listener.
He's your Disney buddy.
Yeah, he's my Disney buddy. Adam and Tears of came. And so I've been kind of introducing Adam to some of the standard OmegaCon games. Like this morning, I introduced him to Can't Stop. Because if you've been to OmegaCon, you really need to play Can't Stop.
You should just play Can't Stop. It's fun.
It is fun.
I saw he got into a game on Salad Bowl last night.
He did get into Salad Bowl. I taught him Tokaido because I think that's a really good game that a lot of people at OmegaCon are super into. There's always somebody playing that. I didn't get him to play with Lords of Waterdeep yet, so that's kind of a goal. So I've been playing more games than I played before, just trying to...
Just getting new people.
Yeah.
That's also a new game. So. Brianne.
Yes.
Brianne.
Hi.
Bilyeu. I can pronounce it correctly now.
Good job, Tim.
Molly.
Yes.
Molly. Hi.
All right. What new games did you play?
So the one that I loved, my favorite one, the winner of OmegaCon 2017 Fall.
Omega winner.
Celestia.
Oh.
It's called Celestia, and it is a press your luck game.
I love it already.
There's no board. There are like eight little round ovals, and that's the track that you take the physical 3D airship that all of your little meeples fit into. And the captain, who rotates every single time, rolls dice, and then if they can beat what's on the dice, the ship advances. And it's a press your luck thing because as you go forward, you have to start rolling more and more dice, and it's harder and harder to beat. And there are people jumping off the ship because they don't think the person can get it.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's just amazingly addictive. And the first person to 40 points wins. And you get points for jumping off the ship in time before the airship crashes.
I picked that box up and looked at it. And I was intrigued. So that's very exciting.
Do you know how many players it's for?
It can take up to 6, I think.
Yeah, I thought it said 2 to 6.
Two? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I want to try that one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Anything else?
Yeah, so another one is, it was called Mr. Jack, and it was a pocket game.
Mr. Jack Pocket?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, and it was really neat. It was surprisingly simple. I taught it to Pat this weekend, and she really liked it.
Is that a friend of the show, Pat Wick, my wife?
It would be, yes. Oh, okay. yes, that Pat.
Yes, friend with benefits of the show.
Yeah, yeah. And it's basically, it's like a game of cat and mouse and like tic-tac-toe.
Pat and Bunny Wick.
And you move your investigators around trying to get line of sight on Mr. Jack. And
interesting.
Yeah, back and forth. Very quick game. I would say 5-10 minutes tops. And it was a lot of fun. I also taught a lot of King Domino, which is a lot of fun. It was kind of a darling of Gen Con.
I was going to say, that game, I think that game, was, I don't know if it won the spiel, but I thought it was a good contender for it or something. Yeah,
that's what I heard, yeah. And it's a neat game. It's kind of like Carcassonne. You have to turn over tiles and match them to existing tiles on your grid. And the neat strategy part is you can only build a grid 5x5.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't extend out past that in either direction. And at the end, it's whoever has managed to make the most matching pieces. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that one was a lot of fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
I
want to
play
cool.
Godfather. So someone has Godfather here, and it's a resource management, and that's just a lot of fun.
Like, manage your gangster resources.
That sounds
true.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like
Do you get to whack people?
Yes.
You get to whack people?
It looks like King Domino did win the Spiel des Jahres 2017 Game of the Year. So that's very exciting.
That's pretty impressive.
No one had photosynthesis this year. Where is photosynthesis?
People have been playing the crap out of that at my work, photosynthesis.
Yeah.
And then also Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been playing that one, that one's got a big hit.
Yet.
I haven't played it at all. Nick. What new games did you play? I know most of those are going to be my new games because we played the same new games. So
I'll talk about one or
speak
two.
For
we'll
us.
Talk about one or two of them, but
whatever.
So we've owned the Rick and Morty Total Recall card game for a while.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like Total Recall, but it's Rickall.
Yeah. And it's based off the episode.
They took one episode of Rick and Morty and made an entire
card game
about one specific episode. Where there are these sort of psychic parasites that create a persona and imprint false memories into you so that you don't want to kill them. And they kind of reproduce through flashbacks. And so you end up, there's a joke in the middle of the episode, like, what is this, like a 90s Conan? Because there's all these weird mascots. There's Amish Cyborg. There's Hamurai, the Ham Samurai.
Manicorn, who's like a unicorn mermaid with like unicorn on the top and man on the bottom.
Yeah,
and,
giant
like,
duck fish guy.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
Just, you know,
just tinkles the little lamb. Yeah,
right. And so you can play it the simple way, which is you don't have hidden roles. You just have these cards that are out, and you're investigating whether or not their parasites are real, and trying to kill the parasites without killing the real ones. Or you can play the advanced way, which is what we did for the first time this weekend, where everyone has a hidden role. You could be real, you could be a parasite. And the roles frequently get switched.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
And sometimes you don't have a lot of choice about what you're playing from your hand.
Because you only have 3 cards in your hand.
Oh.
Or less sometimes, or fewer sometimes. And so sometimes it's like, sorry, either I kill someone we know is real, or I shuffle all green characters' identities, and we have 2 players that are green, so we don't no longer know if you are real or a parasite.
Yeah.
You could have just changed teams.
You can only kill 4 real characters, but then the game's over. So when you kill the 4th real character, you lose, no matter what. So you have to only kill parasites, and then the game ends when all the parasites are dead.
Yeah.
Which means if there's no parasites in the center of the table, you're like, okay, well, like, are we all real or is one of us a parasite? And if you're all like, okay, I think we're all real, and you flip them over and someone who was a parasite, they win.
Nice.
But if you're like, no, I want to keep, I don't trust you guys, we're going to keep doing this, that goes into like this dinner table mode, which it mirrors the episode. It's super funny.
It's amazing how well the gameplay fits the episode.
Yeah.
So it's super fun. I don't think you need to be familiar at all with Rick and Morty to enjoy it, because it's a very clever take on a hidden role mechanic game. because your hidden roles change very, very frequently.
I love that. I love that they managed to... Can you imagine who pitched that idea?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to make a board game out of one episode of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I think it's cryptozoic. It all fits in a little box. Like, it's just cards. It's
really well designed.
Cheap. Yeah. Nice. And then the other game I'll talk about is we bought the Expanse game. Oh. It's resource control, it's like so influence fun. Management.
How long is that? I saw people playing that. It looked like
I would say if you're learning it, it would be an hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're playing it, 45 minutes.
Well, we played a two-player, too, so I imagine
with
three,
more players,
four.
Maybe. So right. I would say four. I would say probably 45 minutes to an hour and a half if you know what you're doing.
So
and you have
it's two player. To four players. If you're two, you're Earth versus Mars. If you're three, you're Earth, Mars, OPA. And if you're four, it's Earth, Mars, OPA, and...
Protogen. The company.
And you're there's, like... Inner planets, the belt, outer planets, and then there's bases and orbitals for all the different areas. And you're kind of trying to spread out a fleet to put down influence, which then is counted during scoring phases. But you can be a real dick about when you trigger a scoring phase. And your only resource in the game is also your score by which you win. So you literally spend your score to buy things.
You spend victory points as currency.
Right.
And so that's fun. And then like
so
on top...
It's like a calculated investment.
And it's asymmetric too. So each of the players, like each of the factions has different things at its disposal. Like the OPA has the ability to scrap ships or something like that.
Yeah.
Mars has some extra battleship fleets.
Yeah.
Earth has extra diplomacy. Or the UN has extra diplomacy stuff, and then the Protogen has some kind of proto-molecule thing that it laid down. We didn't play with them. So that's really cool. I think it's a little spoilery, but not terribly so. Like, I don't think it's not like some of the Game of Thrones games where playing it's going to wreck things for you.
And all the art is from the show. It's definitely tied to the sci-fi. There's a quick play guide, which is very... a misnomer. The instruction manual is might be kind of a barrier to playing this game, but the game itself is fun and worth it. So, like, maybe watch a good quick play video or something.
Yeah, or just like get you just if your gamer group has someone who's like a good rules like lawyer, someone who really enjoys like rules technical reading and interpreting things like that. You might be good.
Like
Molly,
that's kind of how it works. An example is. When you're picking out the cards for a two-player game, a three-player game, or a four-player game, you have to infer which cards you put in a four-player game by noting what they did not say to put in or not put in the other ones.
Uh-huh.
They don't have a symbol.
Yeah.
You have to like put it together like a little logic puzzle. Yeah. Little things.
So, Tim, you said you liked that numbers game.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot, too. How many times did you play it?
I played it twice.
Yeah. Did you feel that there was a, like, I don't know, I felt that, like, after the first game, you had a way better, like, it's a steep learning curve or a gentle learning curve.
I actually found the learning curve really quick. I won the first game pretty handily because I think I kind of understood what the hell was going on more than the other people.
Yeah.
Playing. And then the second game, I lost it very, very tight with Kelvin Hatley, who's really good at those kind of games.
We played three games with Kelvin.
Did you win all of them?
No, we won. He won. We won. We spread it around.
Yeah.
The tiles. So what this game is it's cardboard tiles that are built out of little squares that make numbers. And so they have the numbers 0 through 9, and they have different shapes, obviously, for each number. And then you are laying them down, kind of Tetrising them together in a way. So you lay them the first layer. Your first layer of them is worth 0 points. But then subsequent layers are worth more points, but you can't overlap any blank spaces. If you're going to play a second level, it has to cover at least 2 tiles. So there's like interesting, you can't have overhang or over anything that's blank. So it makes for a really interesting, you know, logic puzzle as to where to put stuff. And then the way that you determine what number you're playing is by a deck of random cards. So that
like
there's
a Candyland deck.
Yeah, there's just 2 of every number. So it's super fun, really simple.
You can get a game in like 15 minutes.
I think it's Z-Man Games.
It's very fast.
Yeah, it's super fast and super fun. It's a little, I would say, my only complaint was that we had to have the box with all the number stuff out on the table. But we just, that's just our fault. We were playing at one of those teeny round tables.
Yeah.
Which they look like they should be okay for a game for three people, but they're really small here. So, like, that's,
yeah.
You must want, yeah, regular table space. Cool.
Sushi Go.
We played Sushi Go. Have you guys played Sushi Go?
Oh, I played like a lot. We never played.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sat down. This has been a weekend of us sitting down and just figuring out games together.
Yeah.
Just the two of us. Brienne talks about her favorite game. Tim, what was your favorite new game?
Probably number nine. I thought it was really clever. I thought it was super easy to learn. And even though the game mechanic is really simple, each game is really different based on the order that the cards come up. And, you know, very early on, people are making different choices about where they're putting their numbers, mm-hmm. which means that as they're building up levels, different people are making different choices as to when you start to put numbers on level two.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, you can't win the game if you don't get to level four. And that's one of the things that you really got to think about. It's like, mm-hmm. if somebody gets to level four and nobody else does, then it's true. So
that's really cool. I really liked, I will say, one thing we didn't mention was we played one of those unlock games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We got. So the thing is, they are single play games in the sense that, like, once you play it, you really can't play it again because you know everything that it does. So, but it's a puzzle room done as a card game. And the cards come out according to number. There's a great tutorial deck that each of them has at the beginning. So you download this app. It's free. It runs really well. And you're like, all right, start tutorial. And the cards are just set up when you pull them out of the open. You open the deck and it's right there. And it's like, use these tutorial cards to start. They just take them aside and it teaches you how to play the game and how actions interact or objects interact and like how to search things and how to use the app. And it's like maybe 5-10 minutes. You're like, cool. Now you're going to do the actual puzzle game and be ready for it. And you have an hour to do it, and it has a timer. And then there's like inputs into the app for like codes and things like that based on card number. It's really fun. Like, it's a genuinely fun puzzle room game in that sometimes we would get a hint. We played with Perrin.
Yeah.
It was the two of us and Perrin. And one of the hints would be like, did you look closely at the whatever card? And you're like, shit, okay, I guess not. And then you look and there's a number, a teeny number somewhere. And since the rule is if you can see a number on a card, you reveal that number card. You're like, oh, we should have had 98 out. And so then you pull 98, you're like, oh, there's a whole thing here. And like, it's super cool.
It's like, if you want to use the screwdriver on like the lawnmower.
Yeah.
The screwdriver is number 12, the lawnmower is number 13. So then you'd go and see if there's a card number 25.
Yep.
And you could flip card number 25. But if that combination is not something that was that, meaningful...
Like not the answer, yeah.
That card 25 says, wrong, lose 3 minutes, hit the penalty button, and the timer
and you lose
takes
3 minutes.
Time
yikes.
Off for,
yeah.
for
so
misguessing.
So now does it have multiple scenarios, so it's got replayability?
Nope,
or is it
no replayability. But it's $15. But the nice thing is
that's
you can give it to
bad.
Someone else.
That's not too bad.
And so it's $15 for an hour for up to
right.
six people. And then you can give it to someone else, and then they can play it and
well,
pass it around.
What's the name of the game?
Unlock. And there's a
Unlock.
Bunch of them. I'm the host, and I'm Tari, but I have to go to the bathroom. I should have done that between episodes, but I'll be right back. While I'm gone, please, Nick, talk about what your favorite one was. Was it
yeah.
Expanse? And if not, shift into what your least favorite one was. I'll be right back. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Teacher's gone.
The Expanse game, I don't know if I'd say it's my favorite game, but it's definitely the one I'm thinking about the most and am most eager to go play again.
Sure.
Because I think it is a vastly different game at two player, three player, and four player. Like, I think each number is a very different game. And so I think... I would really love to play it, especially with anyone that would be familiar with the franchise show or books, just because I think that you'd get the most out of it and kind of conceptually understand. But I think it encapsulates the show so well because your ships never really fight. There's no rolling dice for attacking or anything like that. It's if I have more ships than you... My guys on the ground get a bonus. Whoever has the most people on the ground during a scoring phase is when you get points. You're basically... It's like a Cold War. Like, you're just... And sure, Mars gets abilities later in the game that lets you remove your opponent's ships, but, like, you're never, I don't know, it never feels very, like, an open war. It feels very much like the posturing and maneuvering of that's such a part of the Expanse series, adapted to gameplay really well that isn't slow and boring, but, like, cunning and quick.
Nice. I agree with everything Nick said because I was here the whole time.
Totally believable.
Yes.
Behind the veil.
I was just saying that I don't know if it's my favorite, but I'm most thinking about and most eager to play again the Expanse game.
I agree with that. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Although, I saw there's a Sushi Go app on the phone.
I got it.
And
I might have to do that.
I have to buy that because that sounds, it looks like you can play multiplayer.
Nice.
Our favorite multiplayer game for phones was Penny Arcade, which the Penny Arcade deck building game you could do on the phone. And they just stopped, they just announced they're going to discontinue support for it.
So with iOS 11, so it doesn't work on our phones anymore. And they're not going to support it. They're not going to upgrade it. It's very disappointing.
All right, so we've talked about the great. Let's talk about the Brienne, what was a game that just kind of left you,
So I will tell you, I have a problem in that I've started buying a lot of these games on my iPad, and it has poisoned me against playing some of them in real life, though.
Oh, because of the fiddliness?
The cleanup.
The cleanup and the, will you just fucking think before it gets to be your turn?
Yeah.
Oh, so
Your turn, you're not AI.
I played an agonizing game of Castles of Mad King Ludwig last night that just went on for like an hour and a half.
You should have played with me. I can play that game.
Good,
super
let's
fast.
Do that. Yeah, it was one of those where we were sitting down and we taught two new people and they just took forever to think
analysis,
about things.
Analysis paralysis.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
Man, that's the enemy of the game.
You make
just
a decision.
Yep.
Yeah.
So no games that I like that I played and hated this weekend.
Sure.
Other than
Redemption.
I loved that game.
Oh yeah, it was so good.
I had a flaming sword.
Right. I had Peter's dick.
Jezebel
was
amazing.
What it was.
No.
The redemption of Dick. No. Dick Peters. All right. Tim, any games that left you?
The game that I played
less
today kind of was like, it wasn't a bad game, but it was like super elaborate for what was a super simple game. It was Santorini. Because basically what you do is you have two workers that you move around and they move and then they build. So you're building a four-level tower.
Mm-hmm.
The top level closes off the tower. And all you need to do is get one of your people up to a third level on a tower. So you're either trying to build towers and get your little guy to climb up to the top of that tower, or trying to block somebody else from being able to climb up to the top of a tower. And it's got these really, and it's based on Santorini, which is an island in Greece, and it's the one that, if you see the pictures, it's the one with all the white buildings with the blue roofs.
Yeah,
the blue domes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty. But ultimately, you could play that game with pennies and nickels. So I kind of look at this game in this big box and go, there's no way this game costs less than $40. And it is super simple. And it's probably based on an old, because it's essentially an abstract strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
Tech. Move, move, build. Move, build.
Move, build.
And so it wasn't that it was a bad game. It was just like, I looked at it and went, I would never buy this. Because the amount of time it takes to play, we played four games in 30 minutes. And we were both brand new.
That's super fast.
Yeah, they add what are called gods, which are special abilities that you can get. So you can make it more complicated by giving each player a special ability.
Yeah.
That just made the game go faster.
That's crazy.
Tim, have you ever played Tack?
I don't think so.
It's a real game based on the fictional game in Patrick Rothfuss's Kingkiller Chronicles. They did a Kickstarter for it, and they developed it as a real game, and it is very fun, very simple. It is an open source game, so anyone can make tack sets. Basically like, you need to make pieces that can be flat or be flipped up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need a gridded board that could be 3x3, 4x4, 5x5, or 6x6.
Yeah. Well, that's about the level of simplicity of Santorini.
We'll play Tack sometime. It's fun.
All right.
Can I want to talk about one thing really
quick.
Yeah, please. That was amazing. It was the first thing that I tried. And this might be annoying for people who actually follow VR technology and stuff because I don't remember what it was called. So if one of you know what it was, one of my friends came up to me. I like walked in the door, sat down in my bag, and they were like, here, come try this. And it was a headset, and there were no controllers. It was just a headset that he put over my head and tightened, and he had come into the room beforehand and mapped the room is what he called it.
Yeah.
And when he put it on my head, the room was already defined. And there was a VR room overlaid on the existing architecture.
Oh, wow.
So the walls had wall patterns, the floors, the carpet was something like hardwood floor. And
was it AR? You could see through it?
Yes.
Okay. So augmented reality.
Maybe. And so I had a scenario where I had to look at these dream memories of this boy being kidnapped. And I had to figure out where the boy was, and we had to save him.
Oh,
and
that's crazy.
I could go back and forth between the memory and the crime lab. And when I went to the crime lab, there were all these questions like, what's the voltage of this house? What's the area code that you're in?
Oh,
what kind of transportation is in the area? Because you would go around and like you'd look around, and as you did, a matchbook would reveel itself, or a panel, a utility panel.
Just like an RPG, like a game. Yeah.
It was an RPG, totally. Cool. And like, but it was just like on the beams, there were iron beams, and there was I was inside a theater, so there was like a lighting column with can lights. And it was so cool. I was just standing there walking around, and it was early on Friday, so luckily there weren't a lot of people there yet because I was just walking around. And
Did you rescue the kid?
I did. I won.
Yay.
How do you input the information? Or you just find it and it automatically does it?
Audio. You can just say, you can say examine, or you can say, and the other way is you hold your hand in front of your glasses and you just tap your forefinger to your thumb. And that's how you select.
So it sounds like Maniac Mansion or Monkey Island or like the almost kind of like the Telltale games, like Sam and Max.
Yes, it felt very much like Sam and Max.
But VR Sam and Max, that style of adventure game. Yep. That sounds awesome. so much fun. I really want to try it, but I don't think it'll happen this weekend.
That was good. Nick, did you have like a game that you didn't really love, or do we want to move on to five questions? Because we got time. It's time to.
I feel like my answer will be the same as the game I really loved, and that's The Expanse was a very frustrating game to learn.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's part of why I want to play again, because it's like, no, I figured you out, motherfucker. Now you owe me a time to play that is fun time, not learning time.
I hear you on that.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's time to go to five questions. And because we just had Brianna on, and she answered our five questions, she gets to ask us five questions. So let's quick answer this.
Sucker.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
So I have five questions that I have meticulously prepared for you.
Well done.
So the first one's an easy one. It's a softball. What are you looking forward to in the rest of 2018?
The rest of 2018?
That's 2017, sorry.
Rest of 2017.
I can go first because I have an answer. A week from now, we're going to do our family Thanksgiving vacation, and we are going to California, to Anaheim. We're going to Disneyland. The kids have never been to Disneyland, so I'm very excited about this because they've been to Disney World a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But also, while we're there, we're going to go to Channel Islands National Park for a day. And we are going to meet up with our good friends, friend of the show, Joseph Scrimshaw, and his wife, Sarah, because they now live in L.A., and we're going to meet up with them. Also, my brother and his wife are coming down from San Francisco. So
fun.
We're going to spend Thanksgiving. We're going to have Thanksgiving brunch on the Queen Mary.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. Okay.
That's very cool. I am looking forward to I'm looking forward to the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to, I love my company's holiday party. I like Thanksgiving. There's a lot going on. I don't know. I like the end of the year. Like it's a good time, and a lot of people are gone at work, and we just kind of, it's just, everything feels weird, you know, like it's fun.
So, a couple things. By the time this goes up, it will have already happened. But next week, we took Friday off to watch The Punisher on Netflix with some friends of ours.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to the day I took off for work to go see Star Wars with Molly.
Mm-hmm.
I have an on-call shift where I'm the primary on-call at work that starts Black Friday. And so I'm really looking forward to when that is done. The rest of the year will feel so easy to me.
Yeah, it will.
And it'll be such a relief from the on-call shifts. I'm looking forward to that being over with.
It'll make the December feel like more of a holiday time.
It really will.
It's
ridiculous. It sounds so silly, but it's true.
I will point out that by the time this episode goes up, I will be back from that trip. Anyway.
So this next one, I apologize for those of you who are maybe inebriated a little bit.
What? Who's that?
So the next one's a politics question.
Okay. Yay.
And you can choose to answer one of the two related questions. One, if Donald J. Trump was here in this room right now, what would you say to him that you think actually might have an impact? Not just like, fuck you, you dick bag, you know, or... Who in the Trump administration do you think you could talk to actually influence some positive change in the current administration? And what would you say to them?
I'll answer question one as my choice. I would say to him, you're destroying your legacy. You're not going to be known as an amazing businessman anymore. You're going to be known as the worst president we ever had. Like, I don't care what you think. That's what's going to happen unless you take some pretty serious steps right now to redeem yourself.
Speak
you might be able
ego.
To salvage your reputation if you stop now.
Nice. I like it.
I think I would the same, and I would make a different argument, though.
Mm.
I would also play to the ego, though, and say, hey, look, man, this isn't how I feel. This is what I would say. Look, man, whether or not you did anything unethical... Or have these ties to Russia, you're gonna go down for it. So at this point, like, you can break up with the presidency, or the presidency can break up with you.
Yeah, control the narrative.
But, like, would you rather be the one that gets dumped or the one that does the dumping?
Ah, nice.
I like taking it down
like
to
if
his
you,
level.
Yeah.
If you resign, they can't fucking fire you, man, and you left them.
Because you knew better.
Because it was a horseshit job.
Yeah.
You never got a fair shake.
Yeah.
All that fake news against you and all that
stuff, man,
you never had a chance.
Let them rot.
So quit.
Show them. Yeah.
Show them who's boss.
I like that.
All right. I have an answer. And this answer is counterintuitive, and I will explain my answer quickly. Because what I would do is I would say, Donald, you need to keep doing what you're doing. You're doing amazingly well. And the one thing that I think you are not doing is getting further in bed with the alt-right, because that's really your power base. And you need to really get in deep with them, Donald. The reason I would do this is because the 2018 election is really important. And the worse Donald Trump does, the better it is for the side that I happen to agree with.
Yeah,
so
true.
I want him to be in office through the 2018 election, and I want him to look even worse than he does now.
Maybe nominate David
Duke
he's
talking
in a cabinet position
better.
Or something.
Get David Duke into his cabinet. I mean,
oh boy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what needs to happen.
All right.
He fires Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions flips. Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah.
All right. So the next question we call pandering to your host.
Oh.
What is one national park you have not visited and would like to visit, and what would you do while you were there?
Well, why don't you two go first, because you've been to a lot fewer.
I think I've only been to one national park. It's like we were at a Superior National Forest.
I don't even know if they
want to
go to
national
park. Oh, I've been to a few.
I think I was at like a national forest once.
I've been to like the Badlands, and I've been to Yellowstone.
I haven't been to Jellystone.
But,
I haven't been to any of those places. So I guess any of them sounds great.
And one in Colorado that I can't remember.
I would like to go to a state park as long as it wasn't like the one with the spiders or something. Like, that doesn't sound good.
Is there a good state park in the Ozarks?
National park in the Ozarks? Well, that's Arkansas area, right?
Yeah.
There's Missouri. Hot Springs,
okay.
Which is it's a really tiny national park, but it's kind of cool because it's there's like all these bathhouses that are preserved from the hot springs where, you know, it used to be believed that, you know, the natural water, because, you know, normal water isn't natural, but the natural hot water that came from the ground had healing properties.
Because of the
sun. Yes.
Yeah, aside from the fact that it was
healing.
Just, you know... nice warm water.
Yeah.
which feels good. I did
Stress Relief has healing properties. That's why they weren't wrong.
Yeah, maybe that then. I don't know. There's not a lot of safe parks.
Basically, a question.
I like the Ozarks. Yeah. I like.
I'll be at anyone. I'll go.
This is basically just a question for me. Apparently.
So there's not one that you guys are like, you know, I would just love to see the Grand Canyon, or I would love to go see Arches, or
I don't know a lot about the national parks, so I guess I would. I mean, I'll see the Grand Canyon.
Is part of a national park?
No. Well, I mean, it's right on the edge of a national recreation area.
Yeah, no, I didn't go into the park, though. Yeah, no, I would love to see the Grand Canyon. I have not seen it. I would love to see pretty much anything that's in a national park. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm in. Like, that sounds rad.
But not going to go out of your way. It's like one of those things that's like...
It's just never been something... No, it's just never been... It's never been the way that I've taken vacations.
Sure.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's fair enough.
Wait, hang on. There's a national park in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, there is. Hawaii Volcano National Park.
There we go. There we go.
That's a good choice.
Also, volcano, that sounds dope, right?
No, it's an actual volcano. Like, there's lava flowing and shit.
I'm into it. That sounds amazing. Yeah. I'm sorry, Molly.
I said not the one with the spiders.
Sorry.
There aren't too many spiders there. I
mean, come on, man.
It's a volcano. It burns them up. Anyway,
it's only some fish.
So mine would be Crater Lake, which is in Oregon. It is a dormant volcano that erupted about 10,000-15,000 years ago. Mm. Just blew the top off a mountain, and then the crater has filled in with water. So it is.
Oh, that's awesome!
It is the deepest, I believe, the deepest lake in the United States. It
terrifying.
Is
does anything
clearest,
live in it?
The clearest water.
Atlantis?
Yeah. Does stuff live in it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's fish.
Interesting.
And shit in there.
So like it's like a volcanic
How did they
rock.
Get there?
It's a volcanic rock lake bed, but like it still somehow generates stuff for like. I mean,
literally the top of the mountain blew off, and then rainwater.
Right, how did fish get there?
That is a good question that I don't know the answer to. So,
because like that's a lot of birds dropping in a fish shell.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous.
Well,
15,000 years ago, though.
Yeah, I mean,
if flooding went up above the point at some point,
and maybe I'm wrong about the fish. I haven't been there. See, maybe there aren't any fish.
Now you gotta go find
out. If there are no fish
back
in that lake, it would be the greatest lake in existence. That's why I want to go to the Dead Sea.
If you
go to the Dead Sea,
fish free. Anyway,
and floating.
So Crater Lake.
I can float like a regular person.
I have not
person.
Been to Crater Lake, and it sounds awesome. So.
Cool. All right,
question four. So do you guys know what Jibo is? Have you seen the ads for Jibo, the little house robot thing?
No.
Okay, so we're starting to get more and more technology. We got Alexa, we got, you know, all the different home robotic technologies, and Jibo's like actually a physical robot thing that'll like dance and entertain you and shit. So,
sure.
What do you want, and you are allowed to imagine future technology for this answer. What do you want in your robot companion? Aside from not having it murder you.
So not what do I want in like some sort of technology. What do I want in a robot companion? All right.
Sure. Either way.
Certain
either
tasks
way.
Or like...
I know what I want.
Your call. You got a robot in your house. It can be a physical robot or it can be like just electronic like Alexa's.
Here's the thing. What I really want is a robot that will clean up after me.
Hmm.
Like clean up the kitchen and it'll do the fucking dishes and stuff because I like to cook.
You want Rosie.
But I would be happy to cook my own meals. I just want a robot to clean up after I cook my own meals.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the part that generally I don't do as well with. So that's what I want for my robot companion.
I was going to say, I want something like a Jarvis, like that I can, so it's kind of like advanced Alexa, I guess, so I can be like, you know, open the door, please. And like they open the door, you know, if my hands are full or like, you
Build
know,
me
like,
Iron Man suit.
Like turn on the, you know, just like, yeah, turn on the faucet, you know, things, just little things like just and without having to do a lot of clumsy commands. I want it to be natural. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to just speak what I want and have that happen when I need it.
Understand your intent.
Mm-hmm.
Turn into
mm-hmm.
a superhero and help me beat Ultron.
No, building extra intelligences.
Well, one leads to the other.
No von Neumann probes here. Just Yeah.
If you want a Jarvis, it could build you an Iron Man suit.
I don't want it. I don't need an Iron Man suit.
What I don't need is something that will enable me to be lazier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need something that will, like, go grab me a drink or go grab me something I left upstairs or all these little times that I get up and move around and all that. I absolutely don't need that. But what would be awesome is... like a a drone, like a quad rotor drone that dusts our house.
Oh, that'd be nice. Dusting would be nice, just so like it had a vacuum.
And even if it was like a swarm of 12 small ones, that way they could like get up into small areas. That just like a Roomba programming, but 3D minded, and all they did was dust our house. I would love that.
Let's just make the surfaces of all our furniture something so that you can it's just self dust.
That's what I was thinking was like in Diamond Age, they have like the nanites that just like basically make it so that clothes can be snapped clean.
Oh, I want beautiful
nanites. And surfaces just they don't generate, that just dust doesn't stick. It just, and then they have like, all the air filters just pull everything out all the time.
The videos of like, have you guys seen the videos for drones where they're like throwing up hula hoops? And the drones will like swoop through the hula hoops as they go up in the air, and they'll throw up like 6 hula hoops, and they'll go through all 6. Mm-hmm. And it's not a person controlling them; it's the drones are just fucking smart and have sensors. I can't wait till those things get like Roomba level autonomy within our houses to perform tasks and do things, or even out in the world like delivering packages and stuff. Like, I think that's fucking awesome. That's some super future shit.
Also, I'd like them to be able to do my dishes. So.
That would be good too. Yeah.
All right, last one.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can only eat one food for the rest of your life, and pretend that this food has all the nutrients that you need.
He just asked me this the other day. Keep going, please. Please.
So that's it. So it's just what you can only eat one food. Yeah. It can be an amalgamatum. So if you want to say like tacos, it has 10 ingredients, that's fine. But one food for the rest of your life, and it will sustain you.
And it'll be like healthy-ish. Like you won't.
Right. You can eat chocolate cake for the rest of your life, but it's not going to make you sick.
Diabetes.
It won't make me more diabetic than I am.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
All
right.
Well, it's pizza.
Okay.
Because cheese pizza, hot pizza, cold pizza, pizza with different toppings, breakfast pizza. Like, you can
dessert
have
pizza.
Taco pizza. Dessert pizza. You deep dish, like you could. I think pizza is clearly the winner.
Superior
beyond, I mean,
delivery
sandwich,
technology.
I guess would be a pretty good idea, but pizza is great. I would, and then like garlic bread and cheese bread. Those are basically variations of pizza, like more or less.
I'm gonna say tacos, just because like you can. I feel like that's the place I'm gonna be able to get the most fresh vegetables in there too, because I wanted to say salad, but I also am gonna want sometimes to have like more hot or comfort food. So I think tacos is the way to go. Although I would want them to, obviously it's my dream thing, so they can just be onion free, like completely no onions in any of my sitch.
It's true.
Just tasty non onion delicious foods.
Mm. Yeah, I had a couple of options here, but I think I will go with salad. I really do like salad. You can have a warm salad. You can also do like. Cook up like a chicken breast and cut it up and put it on top of your
That's
salad,
true.
So it's got a warm element. And I'm a big fan of salads, or
yeah, I was,
more
I almost
appropriately,
went salad.
I'm a big fan of salad dressing, and salad provides a phenomenal transport mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So I say salad.
All right, thanks, Brianne.
Yeah.
Those are our
thanks
answers to
diligent.
Her 5 questions. If you want to answer any of Brianne's 5 questions, go ahead. I mean, that's
yeah,
fine.
That's, you don't even
it's
have to tell
country.
Us what your answers are.
It's free country, free podcast. I can't stop you. I mean, I could delete it if I felt like it,
this
but I'm not really that kind of dick.
This podcast is free. Can you believe they're getting this podcast for free?
I know. I mean, if they didn't want to get it for free, they could give us money with Patreon, though.
Whoa!
That's a way to also get additional things for not free. But you can follow us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter, scratch that, reverse it. I don't care anymore. We'll see you guys later. Live at AmegaCon.
I actually have a thing to plug.
Okay.
I have a podcast.
Oh, that's right.
I do. I have a podcast. It's called Super Serious Social Justice. And we are on Facebook and iTunes, and it's a brand new podcast about social justice with a lot of poop jokes. So
that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So super serious social justice.
That's right.
I don't know how you can
say.
Do social
that's,
justice without poop jokes.
I totally forgot to offer that last episode. My fault.
That's also my fault. We're just monsters.
And I usually don't have a lot of stuff to plug, so.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yep. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And this was OmegaCon for another year. You'll get to enjoy our... It doesn't matter. Nothing I said was important, I promise.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize more. moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Oh shit, right.